Welcome, where business buying banter meets no BS reality. Get ready to dive into the world of buying and selling businesses without the fluff and fancy jargon. Whether you're a seasoned business buying pro or a curious aspiring entrepreneur, this is where the real talk happens. Because in business, there's no room for sugarcoating. Let's get down to the brass tacks.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to Headbands and Handkerchiefs. And I have a special guest on the show today because Richard was not able to join us. And there'll be some future shows coming up where I will be MIA and you'll see a different guest. But I am thrilled to bring to you Damon, who many of you probably are familiar with from LinkedIn. He is all over the place. I've seen him do many, many LinkedIn live streaming shows. My gosh, Damon, what do you have? I mean, how many shows do you do a week? I think two, is that right?
We do four.
Four? Okay. Let's talk about the shows. I'm thinking two. How do you do four a week, and how long have you been doing four shows a week?
We've been doing, I think we started doing four shows in 2021. And we, I mean, of course, you got to take holidays and things like that off. But I think between Kurt and I do Monday, Friday. We do the manufacturing e-commerce success on Monday and Friday. And then I do the faces of business on Tuesday and Thursday. And then our other live webinars and things we've done has probably been over 500 live streams we've done.
That's amazing. I mean, the statistics tell you most people are done, I think, after, what is it, 14 shows or something like that? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Man, have you tallied up how many guests you've had on your shows?
No, I haven't for sure. Okay. But I was looking through some things the other day, and I think, like, on the face of the business, it's well over 200. And I think on the manufacturing e-commerce success, it's got to be close to 200.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, so, for all of our loyal listeners and viewers out there, we have a QR code putting up right now with Damon's information, and you can go to his LinkedIn profile and find on his events tab these weekly shows. I think they are credible. They offer valuable information for small business owners and the middle market business owners. A lot of great talk in regards to just operating the business. You bring in a lot of guests that add value to the operations of small businesses. Very valuable. I highly recommend your shows, Damon. So I'm honored to have you here just talking with us. And, you know, we talk about how to buy a business and helping aspiring entrepreneurs who want to become a business owner through acquisition, which we all know is much easier than a startup. Okay. In my opinion, I think it's crucial for business buyers to know how do business owners prepare to exit, because that's part of the due diligence of a business buyer, right? When they want to buy a business, they're looking at what the current owner prepared to sell the business. So perhaps you can kind of give us maybe a little bit of a background, how long you've been doing Exit Your Way, all the different avenues that you do with Exit Your Way, because you do help business buyers too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we
do. So I think Exit Your Way has been around since 2019. Is that right?
We actually started the work we're doing in 2016, and we renamed, rebranded everything Exit Your Way in 2019. Yes. And our company really came out of the fact, though, that myself and my partner, Andrew Cross, we really grew up working in investor-owned companies, smaller, not big, huge investor-owned companies, but, you know, sub $50 million kind of things where you've got manufacturing or e-commerce and things like that that we were running. And with those investors, we were buying and selling companies a lot of times. And I learned early on that I really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed the process of you know, buying, building, and then selling, exiting the companies for those investors. But I didn't enjoy working for the investors as much as I enjoyed working for individuals. Mm-hmm. So that's really kind of where we got started. And actually, I thought of the business 20 plus years ago after the first company I did that with, built it and sold it with an investor. And I said, this is what I want to do. I just really didn't know how I was going to do it or who I was going to do it with. And things came together in 2016 and we started.
That's awesome. And I think back to, I used to be a commercial portfolio manager years ago. I don't really recall seeing many advisors out in the market speaking to that they're an exit advisor, exit planner. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just didn't know. Or maybe it's because we just have more baby boomers today than we did 5, 10, 15 years ago, right? So,
yeah. Well, those numbers have been going up, and I think there are some specialized, you know, when you look at BEI, the Business Exit Planning Institute or something like that. I mean, they create some good folks that got that knowledge on valuation and the financial aspects of it. They have some good education there and good training for people that are going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell us, where do you find, or where are business owners finding you? Are you seeking them, or are they finding you? And what does the process look like from the get-go when they first make that call and say, hey, Damon, I need some help? Tell us what that looks like.
Usually it's somebody knows a business person, mm-hmm. right? And there's something that is not going right. They know this person is maybe getting to the point that they either want to do something else. They are ready to sell their business. Sometimes we get people both, but it's referral based. We do very few or very little. I should say that's not the right word. Very little outbound marketing at all, mm-hmm. because we really concentrate on helping to educate as many people about the process of, you know, setting targets, preparing your business for sale, and going through this methodical process of doing it, because in our experience, it's so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think back to when I was a commercial portfolio manager, I would meet with small to middle market companies, and my market president had told me back in the day, don't leave the office unless you know what their succession plan is or what their exit plan is. And, you know, I think back years ago, perhaps business bankers, commercial bankers were more focused on really coaching and mentoring business owners to plan for an exit. But I think those days are gone. Because I, you know, think, Damon, remember years ago, we were all in brick and mortar offices, and you would go sit down mm-hmm. in an office or the conference room at the bank with your commercial lender or portfolio manager. Now, granted, I know we still go visit in person, but I think banks are more focused on new loan production and bringing in new business to the bank, that the quality perhaps of maybe a business banker or a commercial loan portfolio isn't going to be as solid as what your firm could bring. So maybe, as you mentioned, you get a lot of referrals and word of mouth. I know a lot of business bankers and lenders will hop on these lives that we have. You would be someone that they could point their clients too for help in this arena, right?
Yes. Yes. And yeah, the business bankers really, you know, 10, 15, 20, especially when you go back farther than that. Yeah. I mean, a lot of them were experienced business people. Mm. I mean, had been in business, gone into banking and those kind of things. And as a normal course of business. But now, you know, banking has become more of a career path for people where they're in banking. And like you said, because of the demands of production,
exactly,
of closing that many loans, doing that kind of stuff, they're just not spending the time with the people in the business to really understand business as much as, does this business fit the criteria for a loan or not? And then on the other side of it, the regulation has made it so much different for banking professionals. I mean, there's no coloring outside the lines. It either does, doesn't, you know, there's no real flexibility, not nearly as much as there used to be, as far as, you know, this is an opportunity we really believe in. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just doesn't happen very often anymore.
I'm thankful for like 20, 30 years ago, when I first was in this industry, the market president who I trained under, he was a former business owner, and then he was the president of the community bank, and he knew mm-hmm. the market. He knew every business that was in the market, and he would sit down and review 32-page credit memos that I drafted up that would have to be presented to the board, of the spreads and the ratios and all that. And mm-hmm. he had his red pen like a teacher and would review the memo with me in his office and circle things. He's like, he would tell me, you get one shot with that one sentence, and one word could make it mean something other than what it should mean. And he mm-hmm. would send me back to my office to rewrite it again. And this is before AI or anything was out. He just had to think. Those days were good. We were taught well, like you said, bankers were solid back then, and there's still good ones out there. Don't get me wrong. I just think the industry, similar to SBA lending, there's an age, there's a group of us, and I'm one of them that's getting up there, mm-hmm. and eventually we're going to be retired. So there's got to be a lot of training of the younger generations to come on up and understand the ins and outs of operating a small business and preparing for an exit, which we often talk about can be the unexpected exit more times than the planned, right?
Yes, certainly can be. And that's one of the things that you really have to think about. Well, and it's one of the first things when we're talking with our clients, when we get started working with them, it's like, okay, if something happens to you tomorrow, what is supposed to happen to your business? What do you want to happen? And it's something we go over, not because we want to be morbid or anything, because things happen. And if they haven't had this in place, and sometimes they go, oh, this is what we're going to do. My family knows exactly what to do. Okay, what part do you want us to play in it? Blah, 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 blah. We go, it doesn't take that long to get that thing communicated. But, you know, I got a call 2 weeks ago. I get calls, not every week, but calls often from people that said, well, my spouse died. They were the one in the business. We're trying to figure out what to do. Mm. And, you know, those are tough situations that if you, ahead of that, they would have said, if something happens to me, you call this person. They've got the plans. They know what to do. This is in general what I've told them to do. So mm-hmm. you can oversee it. They'll help you do it. I trust them.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing for people and to do that. And that all of this, when we talk about exit planning, we talk about, you know, building your business to really successfully sell it and do what you want. One of the things that's hard about it, honestly, is the psychological fact that if we're doing this near retirement, mm-hmm. it really does signify there is going to be a major shift in my life. And a lot of people don't want that major shift mm-hmm. and they put it off. And I mean, this, we just can't ignore that mental change. That people, if you're going to go from I have a business to I want to exit it and I don't know what I'm going to do after that, or I'm going to retire, I know I'm going to retire. It's a big change, and a lot of people put it off. Mm.
Wow. I thank you for bringing that up. They do put it off. Mm-hmm. How do we break that though? I mean, I was taught by that market president for the longest time, don't leave unless they tell you they know what their succession plan is, contingency plan, exit plan. And I'd say 98% of the time, they didn't want to talk about it. I'm not worried about that right now. There was always, I don't have time for that right now. And then I go back in and the following quarter, I don't want to talk about it. They would always put up their hand like, no. And they knew the question was coming, because when I did joint calls with my market president, I would get written up, so to speak, if I didn't ask seriously. He was strong because there was a loan, a liability on the balance sheet of the bank. And we better know what's going to happen to that business if something happens to the owner. So it's stuck in me to ask those questions. But have we moved the needle over the years? Have we improved? Now, I can tell you, my business buyers have to put together a business plan, and I have to make sure there's that succession contingency plan in the business plan on day one.
Yeah.
Do they follow it though? Do they pull it out and review it annually? I don't think so. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're right. I think you're right. And I don't think we've made much change in this, in educating owners the need for preparing exit plans, because honestly, the business brokerage industry is not effective.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a sell as is, where is at best. I mean, that's really, when you look at anything sub, I don't know, 5-10 million in price tag on a business, a business owner could come to me and I could say, your business is worth $50. And he said, no, they could say, no, I don't want to sell my business for $50. I need $100. And three other, business brokers would line up and tell him exactly what he wanted. It's worth $100. It's worth $100, even if it's not. Mm. And, because a lot of business brokers are listing brokers. Yeah. I mean, they're trying to get listings. That's what they want, because they know that if I get enough listings, I'm going to sell enough businesses in a year that I'll be able to make money. And that, I mean, that fundamental fact is what I think really hurts that exit industry, selling a business industry overall, because if your business is not going to sell because it's not prepared, it doesn't matter if I tell you if it's worth $100 or if it's worth $5. Mm-hmm. It's not going to sell. Mm-hmm. And it's a binary decision. I mean, when there are things that are wrong, as you see them as coming from the buy side, right? You're going to see brokers that are going to go, oh, well, we can adjust this and that and make the numbers look a lot better. And yeah, if you find somebody that's not working with someone that can actually educate them on what the numbers, you know, to ask the questions about what really, you know, is this a solid business and those kind of things, you might get away with it, but your chances of ever selling something like that are very low. Mm-hmm. And then even worse, and when it's not sellable, like, you know, if I'm the brains in the business, and when I walk out, you know, all my 50 years of knowledge or whatever in this industry doing this specific thing goes out the door and nobody else on the team knows how to really do it. I mean, those are the kind of things that just kill businesses, whether it's $1 million or $20 million. But the business brokerage industry largely overlooks that and just goes right to the dollars and says, okay, if they make $50, they're worth this much, you can multiple, and doesn't look beyond it. And, you know, there's just so many things beyond that that really control whether it's going to sell or not.
Mm. Right on. I've seen plenty of listings where they have the set price, but yet they don't have the proof of the ad backs. I'm like, how can you have a set price? Yeah. And why is it even on the market yet? If you don't even have the cash to prove for the bank that it can be added back.
Yeah, you hit one thing. Sorry, go ahead.
You go ahead. That was my comment.
Well, it was getting me going, yeah. Because this is one thing that kills me when you're talking to somebody. And okay, let's go back to the example of where you came to me, Deb, and you said, hey, I want to sell my business. I said, great, it's worth $50, Deb. And the next person down the street said it, that the broker down the street said it's worth $100. And you go with that broker down the street because they said $100. Did they really even go look to what cash flow, what level of loan your cash flow would support for the business? Mm-hmm. Did they look at what your working capital was in your business or anything like that, or your performance in the field and how you know, if you got 75 bad Google ratings and all this kind of stuff that really makes a difference in business anymore? Or did they just say what you wanted to hear so they could get a listing? And I mean, I can't say it enough. The math is the math.
Yes.
What a business is worth. It's how much cash flow there is the most important factor in driving the value of a business.
And cash flow, not in, for example, real story here. I had a deal a couple of years ago and the seller did a bunch of home improvements using the cash from the business on his $1 million home. He did a complete upgrade, which is fine. It's acceptable, but you got to prove it. And it was listed on the market with the ad backs. You know, there were some one-time discretionary expenses and the broker mm-hmm. promised me, it was a broker who I trusted, that, yep, we have the proof. It took us probably 2 months to get the seller to come up with the proof. And the proof was just a Word doc with just typed information. No receipts, no nothing, just... Mm-hmm. Now, maybe he did spend the money, but he didn't keep the records. And that's the kind of stuff you would teach these business owners. I mean, can you do it? Well, yeah, you can, but you better paper trail and have the right eligible proof that the bank will accept. Creating mm-hmm. a Word document saying I spent money on this and I spent money on that, not going to happen. We need bank statements. We need copies of checks front and back that it came out of the business checking account. You know, we need a paper trail that the invoice was in the business name. It gets serious with banks. We're talking, you know, up to, in the SBA land, up to $5 million transactions that they're putting an approval on. There better be cash and they're going to want to prove it. And it's sad because, as you know, many brokers, not all, but most, I have to say most because I've been doing this long enough, they're not ready. These listings are not ready, or they shouldn't even be put on. They should be working with folks like you and your team, Damon, and that's going to take probably 2 to 3 years to turn it around to get it to where it needs to be. It's not a 6-month turnaround, these businesses, to prove that they're eligible at the banks to get the financing. And I think that's a short sell that a lot of these brokers have. Well, we'll fix it. We'll turn it around. You're going to keep that listing on the books for 2 to 3 years and turn it around? I don't think so. I don't.
Yeah, it's just... They don't sell. I mean, look at the numbers. What is it? 20% of the businesses sell, 15-20% of the middle market businesses ever get sold or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, listen to Mike Finger, who's gone into real depth into it. He thinks it's even way worse than that because of the, you know, you go, look at his math and it's much better. But, it just is. I can't tell you how many people I talk to that say, hey, I want to sell my business. Blah, blah, blah. They're talking to me and I'm listening to them and I start asking them about their business and this. And I said, you know, if I was you, I wouldn't even try to do that. And they're like, well, don't you sell businesses? Yeah, I sell businesses. But I also know what's probably right for you. And if I was in your situation, this is what I would do. And I just explained to a guy last week. He called me, he had a moving company, been a great company for him and his family. You know, like a lot of these companies put their kids through college, they've been able to, you know, create a nice living around it and this and that. But when he told me about the business, it was centered around him. His wife was the accountant for the business and they had a few employees. And I said, well, there's really not a lot to sell other than you've got some employees. And you got some relationships with these people that were contracting with them to move. And I said, if I was you, sitting there, you know, and knowing what I know, and I'm you, and I knew what I knew, I said, I would call 3 of my friends that I've known for 20 years in the market that I trusted. I would say, listen, are you interested in buying this? I said, because if you are, let's make a deal and let's do it and do it right. It's because you can go onto the market. They could say you can sign up something for a year with somebody and they're going to tell you just what I told you today. It's very dependent on you. Mm-hmm. You got too many family members in the business and it's not that valuable. But if you go to one, someone you know in the industry that you respect, and maybe they're a little younger or whatever, they're ready for this to growth and they're in a growth phase, mm-hmm. you might be able to get a reasonable amount of money out of it, and it's going to be a lot less hassle for you. The other thing I tell people a lot of times is prepare for an orderly liquidation. Run it until you don't feel like running it anymore. And then sell off the equipment. Do that kind of stuff. I think it is so much easier to do those two things or do the first, try to sell it to somebody you know, and then do an orderly liquidation like in that gentleman's situation, or just prepare to close your business down. I think it's so much easier than I'm going to go to somebody that's going to tell me they probably can sell it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do all this work. I'm going to get them financial information. We're going to work through this, and Lord knows if they're going to do anything good with that or not, or they're just going to throw it up. And then I'm going to get these nibbles. Somebody's interested. They talk. They're not interested. Somebody starts to talk. They're not interested. And that'll go on pretty strong for the first 90 days or so, and that'll taper off. And then you're going to go, wow, what's that broker really doing? And then they'll do something else, and you'll get a nibble here or there. And pretty soon you're 8 months down the road and you haven't gone anywhere. You wasted 8 months of your life. If you were thinking about orderly liquidation, or I'm going to try to do this with a buddy, you know, somebody that I knew in the industry. I mean, that's the kind of thing that in 6 months you're in and out.
Yeah.
You can decide you're going to sell, get out, do the best you can, or not sell, but you're going to do an orderly liquidation, get out. You can talk to the six people you know in the industry you trust in your area, do that. I mean, there's so many options for you that might be better than selling in those situations, because if you're going to prepare your business for sale, it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. You really got to understand how much work you're going to do, because to really sell your business, it's got to be beyond you. It's got to be able to generate some value without you. Mm-hmm. So that means, you know, if you're the best salesperson, if you're the best technical person in the business, or the only in those, it's incredibly hard to sell your business. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you got to really, if you want to build your business and sell it, you got to prepare. Like you said, it's going to take you 2 to 3 years, but in those 2 to 3 years, you can mm-hmm. triple, quadruple the value of your business by doing the right things.
Worth the investment, hands down, worth the investment. But engaging an exit firm like yours sooner than later, that's the key. I'm afraid too many of them wait till things get so out of hand that it's almost beyond repair. And those are the kind of stories we see Mike Finger put up, you know, the ones that mm-hmm. are just yeah. beyond repair. And that's the message I know you and I would hope to get out, just for anyone out there listening, is the time is the moment you acquire a business to plan an exit. It just is. And it's not something mm-hmm. that you just do and then put it in your desk drawer and ignore it for the next 5 to 10 years. You have to be meeting, what, annually, semi-annually? What do you think? I mean, I think at least twice a year to check in.
Yeah. It's one of these things where for our kind of clients, when we're working on, we meet weekly and monthly.
Nice.
I mean, we weekly, see how it's doing with dashboards and other KPIs we're doing with them.
Yeah.
But then monthly to go over kind of like a board presentation. But you know, if you're an individual and you're not really looking at, if you don't get into business to go, I'm generating wealth. Yeah. What's that mean? Okay, first of all, it means I'm paying myself a living wage to work into this business. Mm-hmm. And now how am I going to generate the wealth I want? I mean, you really got to go through those phases in the business. Otherwise you just got a job. And if you just have a job, that's cool. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. You can work for yourself. You know, we see them all around. You got your plumber, your electrician, your landscaper, that they've got their deal. That's what they love doing. And that's what they do. That's fine. Don't expect to sell it at the end. Mm-hmm. Just because it's made you a living, it doesn't mean it's going to be good for anyone else.
That's right. Yeah. Would you have listings that aren't on the market that you know in your mind the owner does want to sell at a certain time? And do you take eligible aspiring buyers that might want to know? Not that you would give them the info, but is there any kind of, information that can be shared with interested buyers, because they're always asking me, where else do we go besides the market that's just full of crap? Sorry, just being blunt.
You know, when people come to me and talk to me about buying a business, I said the toughest thing is finding the business that you would want to buy.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to get around that. We, and with us, we're not a volume place, right? Mm-hmm. So when you work with less than a couple handfuls of businesses, we don't have them ready all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, we've got, one or two now that are actually on the market? Mm-hmm. And, but the vast majority aren't. Mm-hmm. And won't be for a while.
They need the time.
They need the time to get it right. Yeah. And I mean, because you look at it from that owner's perspective, oh yeah, I could be pushing the business out right now. But if the timing is a big deal of it, not having the business set up right is a huge part of it. And yeah, and that's the other thing is when people come and say, oh, I want to sell my business now. Are you sure? Is your business in the right cycle? Is the economy the right cycle? All these kind of things that have to come together. So,
wow. Well, this is a forever conversation that has been ongoing with many of my peers in my industry and in banking, still waiting for the magic moment where it will improve. And I'm hoping the younger generations will learn from the hard mistakes of some of the older generations. But there are some gems out there, indeed. You know, there are some good ones. And I would much rather want to buy a business that Damon coached the owner over the last 2 to 3 years, how to prepare it for an exit. Because you know darn well there's going to be value in all of the different areas that you look at. No surprises. You'll know that business inside and out. So where, you know, talking to a listing broker, sometimes it's like deers in a headlight when I ask them questions. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. And then mm-hmm. you ask the seller and they don't even know. mm-hmm. So yeah. It's crazy. Well, I just want to thank you for sharing some insight about Exit Your Way and what you do. We need more. I support your posts on LinkedIn and I say that a lot. We need more Damons and Mike Fingers. We need more of you exit planners in the world to really coach up business owners. It's not too late. 2 years goes by fast. I actually have a couple lenders that will consider financing a change of business ownership as long as the most recent filed year fits the debt service coverage and year to date mm-hmm. current year. So that's not bad. That's probably a good, at least 2 years of a good financial record. Of course, all the other good stuff, key employees and vendors and diversity of your AR and all that good stuff. But 2 years goes fast.
Yes, it does.
And all of these years that have gone by, thinking of the business owners that I sat at the desk with my president, they're still working in their business. They're not working afar, just overseeing mm-hmm. it. And they'll retire with not much income, right?
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Yeah. So any closing remarks or that you would like to share with the listeners?
Well, you know, there is immense value in preparing your business for sale. Don't take it from me. Don't just talk to people that have sold a business, talk to people like you, Deb, looking at it from the other side, how much of a difference it makes. Because you really need to know you will waste a year and not sell a business if it's not ready. And there's a lot of other alternatives or taking the time to prepare and actually getting successfully out of your business is less effort overall, I think, or less heartache maybe.
That's right.
Overall.
I would like to add in closing, any business listing that I look at with qualified buyers that actually passes bank eligibility and SBA eligibility, it cash flows, it checks off all the boxes that we look for, one common theme that I see with these business owners that have eligible business listings, there's an expense in their financials, usually consulting, management expense, something like that. And I'll question what was that expense? And it's usually a business advisor, a business coach, an exit planner that they engaged a couple of years ago. And every time I see that expense line item, Damon, that business is selling and it's selling for a good dollar. And the buyer is very happy and it's a wonderful transaction. They really do happen. So my closing remarks would be for all the listeners out there, engage in credible exit planners before you sell. The business brokers, like Damon said earlier, they just list. They don't coach. They don't mentor. They're not on your side for 2 years, 3 years. They're just listing because that's how they earn their income. Start early on in the process and take it from me. I review these listings weekly and I say no a heck of a lot more than I say yes. And the yeses are because of the value and the return on the investment of an exit planner. I can't stress that enough. I talk about it a lot in my posts and my replies. But yet, some of these owners will spend money on a brand new Tesla and park it in the front parking spot in front of the manufacturing company and show it off to everybody. But they don't want to talk about exit planning. But they got a damn good looking Tesla sitting in their parking lot. And it just, and I would walk past these vehicles and they'd shut the door on me saying, I don't want to talk about that. But you got a nice car. So thank you, Damon. I appreciate all the work you do for small business owners and the middle market ones as well. We need more of you. And for all the business buyers out there, really consider when you acquire a business to engage in exit planners out of the gates. And if you want to know some, I've got the contacts and Damon is one of them. He's in my top three for sure. So thank you for joining us and for the work you do. And I hope one day when we retire, the newer generations will see value in exit planning.
I certainly hope so as well. Thanks for having me here today.
Absolutely, Damon. Take care.